next Wednesday for an afternoon full of shenanigans and revel rousing now that the term is coming to a close. If you want more arts news, tune in on Friday to News 101. I'll give you a weekend arts update between 5 and 6 p.m. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me. I am available at arts@citr.ca. Up next, you've got Audio Text with Julie Peters, and I'm leaving you with this copy of Tessellate by Tokyo Police Club. It's not the traditional version, but it's one that I like quite a bit more. I hope you have a great week. I hope the sun comes back, and I'll see you this time next week. Have a good one.
Dead lovers salivate, broken hearts tessellate. All the kids who cut their knees on that old schoolyard fence were holding out for posterity and self-defense. We beat them down again. There's no fun in playing cowboys for pretend. We showed them what the backs of our hands are for. The divide is clear in the coming year. The rich will take the poor. Dire times call for dire faces. So lovely dancer, call and dancer, trade our places in the night. We're running barefoot, you and I. Salivate, broken hearts tessellate.
Yeah, this is Mickey Fitz from the Business. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Keep the faith.
CITR Mint Records and Shay New present Hot Panda this Saturday, April 4th at the Media Club. Come celebrate the release of Hot Panda's Mint Records debut album, Volcano Bloody Volcano, and also check out Victoria's Vincat and Fanshawe, winners of Shindig 2007. This is an early show, so come early. Doors open at 7 p.m.
Now we're shaking hands. Yeah, 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 yeah.
From Skin Divers by Ann Michaels. 3 weeks. 3 weeks longing water burning stone. 3 weeks leopard blood pacing under the loud insomnia of stars. 3 weeks voltaic, weeks of winter afternoons, darkness half descended, howling at distance, ocean pulling between us, bending time. 3 weeks finding you and me in new places, luminescent as a tetra in depths, its neon trail. 3 weeks shipwrecked on this mad island, twisting aurora of perfumes. Every boundary of body electrified, every thought hunted down by memory of touch. 3 weeks of open eyes when you call, your first question, did I wake you?
Love was the way she made me. pale scourge of humankind, all demons rise again.
The multi-talented CJ Leon. CJ is a musician and a poet, among other things, and one of the things that he does is he's very involved in the community, and he puts on shows every now and then. And the reason that I wanted to play for you that particular track on today's episode of Audio Text, your Canadian writing show on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver, is because CJ is putting on another show tonight, April 1st. It's called Ain't No Foolin'. And there's going to be a bunch of different kinds of music acts. He likes to put on things that he finds interesting. It's sort of slightly weird music to remind you that indeed it hasn't all been done before. So that's going to include Jeff Andrew, the Clementines, Sneetch, and CJ himself, who's going to be hosting and doing a little bit of goth jazz, which I'm not sure if he invented that genre, but either way, it should be a pretty interesting night. Also coming up this Friday, April 3rd, Ladybug the Rambler is going to be one of the features at this CD release for the Outspoken Wordsmiths. I don't have any of their music. Distraction is also going to be there, but I'm going to play a track that Ladybug and Chelsea Johnson collaborated on. They're both East Van artists. They're connected with CJ as well, and they have some really beautiful music to put out there. And I've seen Ladybug in performance before, and she's absolutely amazing. She has a banjo, and it's incredible, but I couldn't find any tracks of hers to play, so this will just be a little taste. So that was Ladybug the Rambler and Chelsea Johnson. I, of course, forgot to mention where these two events are going to be happening. Tonight's show, Wednesday, April 1st, Ain't No Foolin', including CJ, is going to be at the End Cafe just at Grandview Highway and Commercial Drive. The Friday show, Friday, April 3rd, including Ladybug, is going to be 7 p.m. at Café du Soleil, and that's the CD release for the Outspoken Wordsmiths, and that's a $5 cover or $10 with CD. Today is Eric's birthday. Eric, who he's not really helping me out with the tech anymore, but he sort of got me started on this show, and he's a really great guy, and today, April 1st, is his birthday, so I thought I'd play a little bit of Canadian music, because he's not as into the poetry as he is into the music, despite my best efforts. That being said, we will get to a little poetry a little later in the show. Just after a little station promo, I'm going to be playing an interview that I recently did with Shane Koizan, who a lot of the spoken word poets, the new emerging spoken word poets that I've spoken to, have been really inspired by this guy. And he has a show coming up on April 7th, which he'll explain in the interview, and it's going to be a really awesome show. He's definitely worth seeing. He'll be really famous, you know, for many years to come. So worth talking about. It was a really interesting interview. So just after this public service announcement, I guess, we'll have that interview.
Mm-hmm. brought to you Scenic Drive every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
So I'm here with Shane Koizan, the spoken word legend of Commercial Drive, who has a show coming up pretty soon. So we're just going to talk a bit about that and about writing in general. So Shane, thanks for talking to CITR today.
No problem. My pleasure.
So tell me about the show.
The show is happening from April 7th to the 11th. It's at the Fire Hall. It was commissioned by the Vancouver East Cultural Center. And I'm doing a collaboration with Jordan Nobles, who's a new music composer. And so basically I'm going to be doing poetry with an orchestra. And there's going to be some multimedia aspects. I've got some of the poems are going to be animated. I've got students from Emily Carr, Skylar Punnett, Ceci Valesco, and Jenny Summerstein are working on animating the video components and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I saw the animations yesterday. It's awesome. Yeah, love it.
And you've been doing poetry for a long time, but have you done any multimedia collaboration like this before?
I haven't done something on this scale before, no. Like, I mean, a lot of people have approached me being like, you know, we want to work with some of your stuff, we want to animate it or whatever, and I've always been like, yeah, okay, go ahead. Nothing ever really comes of it. So I thought, take the reins this time, Shane. Make sure it happens. And sure enough, it's kind of serendipitous because I arrived in Vancouver ready to work on the show, and I was like, man, where am I going to find people to work on this? And then I got a Facebook message from Jenny Summerstein, and she was like, I just want to let you know I'm a film student. I really adore your work, and, you know, if you ever want to work on something, that'd be great. And I was like, wow, this is completely serendipitous. So I Facebooked her back. I was like, well, actually, and she's been amazing, and she's brought in all these other amazing people as well, so I owe her a lot. Yeah. And Skylar, too, has been incredible.
So, as a poet, what is it about poetry as opposed to any other art form that draws you?
I started off reading poetry in schools, and, you know, to a lot of kids, it was the dreaded, oh, God, it's the poetry section, which I actually really looked forward to, because I was always a big fan of language, and if something could transport me somewhere else, it was almost like, I grew up with comic books, right, so reading a poem was like a comic book, except it didn't have the pictures, you had to imagine it yourself, so that's kind of what drew me to poetry, I think, in the first place, was being able to make someone feel something emotionally, but at the same time make them visualize their own things.
So which poets were there that inspired you?
There's so many. E. E. Cummings, Sylvia Plath, Leonard Cohen, Hal Purdy, Tom Wayman, Tess Gallagher. There's, you know, the list goes on. There's so many.
Yeah. A couple of Canadians in there.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, I grew up with Canadian poetry. Yeah. Tom Wayman probably be my favorite.
Yeah, well, as you know, this show is about sort of Canadian writing in general, and I'm always kind of interested when people are writers, whether they consider themselves Canadian writers. Is there something specifically Canadian about the way you write?
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, a lot of Canadian writers have the, you know, like, I mean, we're exposed to each other daily, thank goodness. And so I think it can't help but pop up, like, I mean, whether it's like a pop culture reference. You know, I mentioned Degrassi a lot in the stuff that I write, how that shaped a large part of my life. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of Canadian involved in what Canadians write about, whether they know it or not, whether they're really referencing, like, this is specifically Canada, or whether it's like a broad generalization, Canada is present in most of our writing.
And so when you do start writing this stuff, what do you write about? What kind of topics are your poems about?
Well, writing We Were Here, which is the show that we're going to be doing at the Fire Hall, was an interesting experience because I've never really stretched out one single theme for as long as that. Stick Boy was also interesting because it was, you know, it was a novel in verse, so I had to kind of stick with the same. But writing this was, I tend to write poems that are, you know, like they're self-contained episodes of the X-Files, which were always the best episodes, right? None of that conspiracy shit and long drawn-out drama. They're all just kind of self-contained things, whereas this, I've had to weave a lot of the theme into each of the pieces, so it's been a really interesting experience, and I'm glad I got to do it. The stuff that I write about, I've had a lot about People say that I write a lot of love poetry, which isn't actually true. I don't write love poetry specifically. I write longing poetry, because a lot of the times when I fall in love, it's unreciprocated. So I'm really actually only longing to be with this person. It never really works out. So that's a big theme in my work, I think. And that and, you know, politics and whatnot. We Were Here deals a lot with memory and how memories shape us, how it makes us who we are.
So you write about longing and about politics. Do you find that your poetry is quite personal?
I think so, yeah. I think you can't not draw on personal experiences. And I think a large part of the problem with a lot of performers these days is they tend not to draw on their personal experiences, or they're afraid to go there, which is fine, and I hope they get past that block eventually, and I think they'll realize the more of yourself that you put yourself out there, the more people are actually going to be able to relate to you, because it humanizes you. Whereas, like, I mean, a lot of people, they see you on stage, and it's like, oh, I can never talk to that person because of this, that, or the other, and they're like this, you know, rock star poet, which is such a ridiculous concept. But I think the more you put yourself out there, people are willing to, like, okay, yeah, there's something here, or I made this connection. And maybe they didn't have the exact same experience as you did, but they had something similar. They went through something that made them feel that same way. And to let them know that they're not alone in it is pretty precious, I think.
Speaking of this rock star poet idea, I was having a conversation with some people the other day about how spoken word is sort of this emerging genre, like maybe stand-up comedy once was, or like indie music maybe once was, and now because of the different media that we have to expose people to this stuff, it's becoming a lot more popular. And I mean, what do you think about that? Like, do you think in maybe 10 or 15 years we will have really actually rock star poets, not just in a community but internationally?
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, we're starting to see it already, right? I think the thing is, like, I mean, art tends to go in cycles. Like, I mean, spoken word was around a long time before what we even started doing. Like, you can take it back to the Greeks and, like, you know, how the bards and whatnot would storytell for, like, you know, money to feed themselves and whatnot. So it's been around forever. And then it, you know, every time it goes, you know, goes into hibernation, then it reinvents itself to make it, and, like, right now, like, the generation that we're in, this sort of media-based generation where we're consuming information at such a rapid rate, people aren't able to, you know, it's hard to hold people's attention. That's why we're seeing things like ADD in kids more often, because they're being bombarded with all this information. They need it quick. So something like spoken word, I think, is as much as it's enlightening and uplifting, it's also entertaining, and I think that's what's really drawing people to it. I think, you know, like, I mean, a lot of, you know, going to schools and kids hearing about the poetry, oh my god, poetry, oh, this is going to be awful. And now teachers are showing them YouTube videos of poets because they're like, wow, these kids can actually relate to this. It's funny or whatever. It's like, so it's educating a lot of people about it. So yes, I think it is going to get to that point. I hope it's going to get to that point. You know, we still don't hear spoken word on radio all that much, which is kind of a shame. You know, that's where you come in. It's just a lot of, like, I mean, the people that are in place behind those sort of, like, forces, like record companies and whatnot, aren't willing to take that risk yet because they can't see how they can market it. And that's, you know, that's what they do. They look at everything in terms of dollar signs and, like, what can we market? They're not looking for something to, like, put out there and be like, this is great art and this is why it should be out there. Sadly, there are no record companies that are like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I actually saw a Guinness commercial with a spoken word poet doing his piece about being the best he can be or something like that. It was an amazing commercial, actually, and I thought how fascinating that spoken word is in commercials, like, for Guinness.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's getting more and more far-reaching, too. Like, I mean, I've seen people doing commercials with spoken word now, like, in almost everything. A lot of advertising companies are using it now. A lot of people are starting to look at it in a much different way. Like, I mean, wow, people are connecting to this because it's actually saying something to them. So, you know, it's just, we're on dangerous ground. Like, I mean, where's the media really going to take it, you know?
Yeah.
What's really going to happen with it? Is it going to be bastardized beyond, you know? Is it going to be sectioned off, like, the same way, like, hip-hop was? It's like, okay, now you have gangster rap. Now you have, like, gangster rap and hip-hop and rap and, you know, like, I mean, it was all, originally it was all hip-hop, but now it's, like, been cordoned off to, like, these different sub-genres.
And also, I mean, Vancouver has one of the biggest spoken word centers, I guess, in Canada at least, which is the Vancouver Poetry Slam. And when I first moved here, I thought it was amazing that there were so many people who would pack themselves into this room for poetry. Do you think that there's something to do with the connection of human beings in a room in that way, like that kind of community and the live performance and all of that, that has to do with the growing popularity of this genre?
I think so. I think right now, like, I mean, you look at the world right now, we're in pretty unstable times. And I think right now people are just looking for something to hold on, something different, something... They want some hope of some kind. So, like, I mean, being in a room with a bunch of people listening to poetry is at least something. And, like, I mean, there are nights in there, like, you can hear a pin drop when somebody is reading a poem, which is fucking beautiful, right? It's pretty inspiring to kind of see that happening. And everything that's happening in the world right now, it's pretty unstable. And, you know, when I was going to school, it was very much in that moment of, like, God, I'm just waiting for something. I'm waiting for someone to speak to me musically or whatever. Because then it was all, like, top 40 hits, and it was all garbage, and no one was really saying anything. There was no poetry to it. And then, all of a sudden, Nirvana shows up, and Tracy Chapman shows up. And, you know, I discover Ani DiFranco for the first time. It's like, holy shit, these people are talking to me. Like, I know they didn't write the song specifically for me. Had they met me, they might have, but they didn't. So, but they're actually connecting to me. And I think that was the jumping off point for me. It's like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to connect with people. And in order to do that, I need to internalize. I need to say something about myself. Because I can't just write broadly and expect people to connect to that. There's no way. It's like, we see that all the time. We see that every day in the media, in people in general, in bad poetry, in bad spoken word. I think if you have to put yourself out there, you have to be able to stand up there with a level of emotional nudity and expect people to not look away, you know? And it's an awkward experience. It is definitely, because you are putting yourself out there. But I think the people who do it best are the ones who are in that way kind of fearless, you know? I think, like, I mean, everybody still has a level of fear. I know I still, there are times where I'm like, I can't believe I'm telling somebody this. But sure enough, somebody will come up after a show and be like, hey, man, that really meant something to me. But put yourself out there and you'll find that people will be around to catch you.
Do you have anything that you can read for me right now, like just as a teaser for the show coming up?
I'll give you a little snippet. If I should die today, tell the world the things I could never say, as if by saying them now I somehow said them time and time again, as if yesterday was when I could say something to today, that way the world could hear me as loud and as clear as the year the world discovered. I was so far before my time that my time left me behind to remind time that I'm here today to say that it made this time mine. Me and failure, we only ever speak sign language. We have a limited vocabulary, which means we disagree constantly, and this is not to say I've never known failure. I've taken her on double dates with embarrassment and humility. During dinner, we sit silently watching candles melt into sculptures of all the things we've never said but always felt. I've got a black belt in the martial arts discipline of emotionally retarded.
Great, it sounds like a great show.
It will be a great show. Yeah. You don't even know.
All right, great. Well, thanks so much for talking to us today.
No worries.
Would you like to help students improve their standings in math and English on provincial exams? Would you like to improve your own skills for teaching and leadership? Do you plan on entering the PDP program or law enforcement, youth work, BSW, or medicine? Volunteer as a tutor in an innovative program at QE Secondary School in Surrey in this midweek after-school program. In its 12th year, it has proven to be a rewarding experience for students and volunteer tutors. Contact Ms. Bond at 604-581-3476, 604-581-3476, or email bond_ats@hotmail.com.
Shane Koizan, just before that PSA. A lot of the interviews I do will have a little bit of background noise in them because I interview people in cafes, usually around Commercial Drive. I kind of like it. I think it adds a little bit of ambiance. But sometimes when they're reading and there's some, like, techno happening in the background, it can sound a little weird. I would love to know what you guys think about that. You should really email me and tell me what you think about the background noise in my interviews if you notice it. audiotextcitr@gmail.com is my email address. So, on audio text, right here on CITR 101.9, I like to read a little bit of poetry each week. I'll pick a different Canadian poet and read a little bit about them, give a little bio, and just read some poems to see what you think about it. The poet that I selected this week is Anne Michaels. She's an incredibly successful poet. She's won a lot of awards. She wrote the book Fugitive Pieces, which was recently made into a movie. Her earlier poetry collection, The Weight of Oranges, won the Commonwealth Prize for the Americas. The Miner's Pond received the Canadian Authors Association Award, was shortlisted for the Governor General's Award and the Trillium Award. What else? Fugitive Pieces garnered high acclaim and numerous awards, including the Orange Prize for Fiction, the Trillium Award, the Chapters Books in Canada First Novel Award, the Guardian Fiction Award, and a Lannan Literary Award for Fiction. She lives in Toronto right now, she's an incredibly popular poet. A lot of people really love her, and she's going to be here this Friday. She's going to be here at the St. Andrews Wesley United Church at 7:30 p.m. That's at Nelson and Burrard. And she's going to be talking with Hal Wake, who I've actually interviewed on the show before. He's a part of the Spoken World, the International Writers Festival, and all that kind of stuff. He organizes a lot of literary events around the city. And he's going to be interviewing her about her new book, which is called The Winter Vault. So I thought I'd read a little bit of her poetry just so you guys can get a bit of a sense of what Anne Michaels is all about and see if you want to go and watch her be interviewed and talk about her new book. So the poems that I'm going to be reading are from her book, Skin Divers, which is published by... Let's find out. I feel that the publisher is always important because, you know, Canadian publishers kind of suffer sometimes, and it's good to know that, you know, they get a little publicity too. It's McClelland and Stewart. They don't need as much help as some of the smaller ones, but it's good to know in any case. Okay, so the first poem is called Land in Sight. All day the sky whispered into the sea, and the sails would not fill. On the pier, dogs drank the air dry with searching tongues. We were seared wherever clothes revealed us. Down the boulevard, shutters clapped loud against the sun. Children slipped messages through the slats. Flecks of paper drifted onto the street. All through the city, love looked for us. Through the crooked Alistras, under Lenin's balcony, past the terrace where Goethe drank his coffee, into cafes where coolness turns its key in a shadow. All day love followed us as we climbed from fountain to bridge, a gull hovered as if broken. All day love drew its finger across my belly, ascended my damp spine. I kept turning my face from its breath. The city woke, dogs unfolded their legs and stood. One by one, shutters parted, glimpses of voices pressed the air. The same loneliness that closes us opens us again. Like hair loosened by the sea, slowly the darkness opens into darkness. Night Garden. Your mouth, a hand against my mouth, pressed to earth we dream of ocean, heat-soaked, washed with exhaustion, our mariners sleep, haunted by smells of garden, fresh rosemary, 30 miles off Spain. Long grasses sway the bottom of our boat. We follow a sequence of scents complex as music, navigate earth places, sea places, follow acoustics of mountains, warbler instinct in the dark, Siberia, Africa, and back. Phosphor runways guiding us to shore, moonlight half eaten by the waves. Across the lawn a lit window floats, welts of lupine. You remember an open window, Arabian music through wet beaches. We know we're moving at a tremendous speed, that if it could be seen, the stars would be a smear of velocity. But all is still, pinioned. In the night garden, light is a swallowed cry. Naked in the middle of the city, the stars grow firm in our mouths. Into arrival. It will be in a station with a glass roof, grimy with the soot of every train, and they will embrace for every mile of arrival. They will not let go, not all the long way, his arm in the curve of her longing. walking in a city neither knows too well, watching women with satchels give coins to a priest for the war veterans, finding the keyhole view of the church from an old wall across the city, the dome filling the keyhole precisely like an eye. In the home of winter, under an earth of blankets, he warms her skin as she climbs in from the air. There is a way our bodies are not our own, and when he finds her, there is room at last for everyone they love. The place he finds, she finds, each word of skin a decision. There is earth that never leaves your hands, rain that never leaves your bones. Words so old they are broken from us because they can only be broken. They will not let go because some love is broken from love, like stones from stone, rain from rain, like the sea from the sea. So those were a few of Anne Michaels' poems from Skin Divers. I found it interesting to read Anne Michaels this week because I normally wouldn't have selected her as a poet for this show, which maybe shows my bias. This is not the style of poetry that I generally really like. I find it a little bloodless, to be honest. It's sort of about lofty ideas about love and longing and stuff like that without, in my opinion, a real connection to the ground, a real connection to what real humans actually feel. I think that the body is strangely missing in these poems, and the kind of poetry that I really sort of get off on, I guess is really the word that I would use, is poetry that uses the breath line. You know, you can hear the person's emotion in the rhythm of the sounds, and you can feel the person's body reacting to everything that they're feeling in that poem. And I think for me, that's why I love, you know, Dennis Lee and George Eliot Clarke and some of the other Canadian poets that I've read on this show before. That being said, there's certainly a value to the kind of poetry that Anne Michaels is reading, and it shows with all the awards that she's won how popular she really is, because sometimes that kind of quiet, calm, image-driven poetry is really something that will speak to someone. But for me, it feels a little distant, I guess. It feels a little bloodless, a little anemic. But anyway, I hope that you enjoyed it. If you have any opinions about it at all, I would love to hear from you. I can talk about these opinions on the air. You can come and talk about it yourself on the air if you want to, be my guest. So please do send me any feedback, any commentary, any requests. Love letters, I always enjoy those. audiotechcitr@gmail.com. Coming up next is Sam Squanch's Hideaway. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week. And happy birthday, Eric.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is CITR, the Morning After Show. My name is Osvaldo Perez.
Van Music and CITR presents the 10th anniversary of the Morning After Show. On April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive, 2205 Commercial Drive. Doors open at 2 p.m. There'll be 11 bands. $10 advance tickets can be bought at High Life Records on Commercial Drive or through vanmusic.ca. You can also phone 778-862-1577. Playing at the show is Los Furios, Hawaiian Bibles, Los Malos, The Get Down, Michelle Carter-Lees, Sinister Black, The Rain in the Sidewalk, Tom Girl, Jess Hill, Mac Hunter, and the Aching Heart Foundation. It's April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive. Be part of the movement.
Morning After Show, every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. You can listen at www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM. The Morning After Show, 10 years playing your future favorite song.
Then there's the utter misery.